All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas!
What's up? Merry Christmas!
So, we're in our post-Christmas coma, you know, post-coma mode right now. How you doing? The family,
well,
the family treat you good this year?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was telling David earlier, but I feel like I need to repeat myself. I thought I had a good Christmas.
You thought wrong.
I went to bed on December 25th after a long and wonderful day with my family, opening up way more presents than I deserve, and having all kinds of laughs and delicious food. And it was weird, like everybody else in the world. You know, we didn't have the normal, we didn't have a party, we didn't have a family get together, although my in-laws did stop by briefly, and that was nice to see them. We see a lot of them, you know, it's they're local, and so we feel like we're kind of in the bubble. But we did the sort of typical thing where they sat down there at that end of the table while we were eating, and we sat down here at our end. And other than that, we kept our masks on and had a safe, very safe Christmas. But it was a lovely day.
Right.
It was lovely. It was really neat. I got a new helmet to wear with my bicycle.
I thought you meant for every day, like
yeah.
All the time.
Well, we're not there quite yet. My therapist says she thinks I can go helmetless for a little while longer. But yeah, so it was a great day, and all was well until, you know what they say. Have you ever heard this expression?
Oh.
Comparison is the thief of all joy.
But imitation is the greatest compliment.
Right, is the highest form of flattery. Right. So there I was, minding my own business, thinking about what a wonderful Christmas I had, until David P. Moulton. What is it? It's David Benjamin, isn't it? David, yeah. David B. Moulton, DBM, the boss himself.
Hello.
Texts me a picture, and I suddenly realized that my Christmas was hollow and meaningless and empty.
It's clear. You want to tell them what that picture was and why? Well, it struck your heart?
Well, I mean, now I don't know. It was the Baby Yoda. David texted me and said, "I am a father. Congratulations to me. Big news. I'm a father." And I figured it was only a matter of time, you know. And then the next text was a picture of Baby Yoda, and I suddenly felt inadequate, empty. So next year, 2021, Baby Yoda coming my way. So yeah. So who gave you the Mando Yoda?
My coworker Gary, he gave me this life size Baby Yoda. It's so great. It's got a hard shell head and hands, but the rest is plush. But it's like this. Squishy plush that feels like if you were to squish a real baby. I mean, I know you've been there. And like, and so, right. It like jiggles a little bit when you squish it and stuff, and it's perfect.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like squishing a real baby.
Yeah, right?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a babysitter, David is available.
I'm great with
all times to squish your baby.
It's true. So I'm a dad now. Yeah. It's I got thrust right into the single dad life, you know?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
I can think of no better guy for the job than you.
Thanks.
And I also was a recipient of some other pictures. one of our regular listeners, shed lady, gave David some cutting edge fashion for Christmas, which I've already taken the liberty of posting those pictures to the.
Please, did you? Oh my god. Oh no.
I did not actually post those pictures, but the thrill of the 2 seconds of a look on your face that they might have been posted was totally worth it.
Oh yeah, you know, it's definitely fashion.
Now let me paint a picture for our listeners, because that's what I do. I'm a wordsmith. I enjoy. Please. I like to paint a picture. If anybody's ever seen Schitt's Creek. What I want you to do is visualize David Rose. And you know how when David Rose walks in a room and you're like, wow, who dressed that man?
It was my mom.
It was David's mom, Shady Lady. You never knew that she was the costume designer for Schitt's Creek, but we held that secret for 101 weeks, and here we are.
It took a while. Yeah, so, you know, good Christmas.
All kinds of fun. Kinds of fun. But it was weird. I don't want to beat a dead horse or anything, because you're sick of hearing, everybody's sick of talking about it. But it was a weird, quiet Christmas. And that kind of segues into our news segment, because one thing that is not weird is we have the normal, predictable downtime, the normal predictable. So basically everybody who does anything in the movie business that's not involved with movie exhibition. So as you know, if you own a movie theater, you're considered you're in the business of movie exhibition. And if you make and distribute movies, you're in the business of movie distribution. Well, every year it's really funny, because like the Wednesday or Thursday before Christmas, the entire distribution industry and the entire production industry and everybody goes home, you know, and they put their voicemail on whatever, and they got the auto reply on their emails. So we have only two items to report, but I guess that makes for a third item, which is that I'm pleased to report it's business as usual the week between Christmas and New Year's in the movie business. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back to normal.
We did it.
It feels good. It feels good. We're back to normal. This is the first normal thing I've experienced since March.
Well, big news of the week. Wonder Woman 84 is a hit. Maybe the biggest hit of the year.
Oh, definitely.
With a worldwide box office of $84 million. It's only been out in the States for 3 days, but it premiered worldwide last week, I think. So that's big news, and that's excluding HBO Max results or whatever you want to get from that. So, It's because of this, they've decided to fast track the next movie, the third movie in it. Patty Jenkins said she's coming back, whereas earlier in the week she said she might not if it wasn't going to get a theatrical release. Now they're saying she is back, but that this will probably be the last one. They're also saying that this third movie will conclude the quote unquote trilogy story, this whatever story arc. I haven't watched 1984 yet, but whatever the overarching story is, will conclude in the third one. Whether or not Gal Gadot goes on to continue to be Wonder Woman, we'll see, probably, whatever. But so that's in the works. Did you watch it?
David.
Did
I take offense that you even asked that question?
I didn't think you would, because last week you said you never would. You wouldn't watch it outside of the theater.
Why would I watch one of the most exciting big movies of the year on my TV set?
I don't know.
Why? I want to see this movie on a screen that is measured in feet, not measured in inches. Oh, you have a 60-inch TV. That's great. Call me when you measure your screen in feet.
I mean, you could. It just would be very impressive. 3 feet by 2.5.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't watch it either. So.
Well, here's the new tagline, the Penn Cinema tagline. I haven't finished the stationery yet, but it'll be coming out later today. Penn Cinema. Friends don't let friends watch Wonder Woman on TV.
Wow. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
No, so I mean, I'm a little conflicted because, and I want to get into the fan reviews. I do want to get into talk about what people think about this so far. But I want to just say on a personal note, I'm a little conflicted because there are people who I love.
I didn't think you were capable of love.
Well, it took me 101 weeks, David, but we
finally got there.
We finally got there. There are people who I love who are commenting on Facebook what they thought about Wonder Woman. And my question is this. If you are someone who I love, then you obviously would not watch a movie on your TV at home. So how do you know that what your opinion on this movie was?
They're clairvoyant.
Could it be? Is it possible that somebody in my circle actually watched this movie on their TV?
That sounds impossible.
That sounds impossible. So
unrelatable.
Unrelatable. And so anyway, in the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give all my friends who betrayed me by watching this movie on HBO, I'm going to give them all a pass. We're going to call it a BP, a betrayal pass.
A betrayal pass.
A betrayal pass. You betrayed me, but I'm going to look the other way this time. In the spirit of Hanukkah, you know, and the I don't know what else.
Kwanzaa spirit.
There you go. In the spirit of the year, shall we just say in the spirit of the season, that's what I'm looking for. I'm going to look the other way on the unfortunate betrayals. Now, what about you? Do you have any friends who have betrayed you by watching this movie on TV?
Well, I have a decent amount of people in the Facebook world who are commenting their opinions on this movie. And I got a little bit of a phone call last night from my mom's, who said she was about to sit down and watch it. So
what?
I know. Ultimate betrayal. You have to send her an email and tell her how disappointed you are. You know?
Well, I'm also disappointed I didn't get a shirt.
I've got some to spare.
I mean, you got three.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
How many shirts can you wear at one time, David?
You'd be surprised.
Oh, my God. All right. So, okay. But, I mean, like I said, David, I'll look the other way for your mom because she's mom.
Yeah.
She's been putting up with you for a ton of years.
A ton of years. At least 12.
And not hardly, I mean, her calls to complain to me about you are down to like, I want to say like every other week now.
Wow, that low.
down to almost monthly calls.
I've been on good behavior.
All right. So your friends and my friends, the betrayers, what are you hearing?
Largely negative.
See, I'm hearing positive.
I've heard largely negative. No, I haven't like read anyone. Anytime I see like, I've been going off like the beginning of whatever they're saying and not reading because I want to make my own opinion. I still think it looks fabulous and I'm excited. But I've been hearing that I think I saw like the plot was a little bit like all over the place. Stuff didn't quite make sense. I don't really know because I don't want to spoil anything for myself.
But, yeah, listen, you know what their problem is?
It wasn't in the theater.
They got no sound. They got no theatrical sound. They were checking their phones during the whole movie. They were up and down in the kitchen. There's people walking around behind them. You know, you can't watch a movie in the distraction of your home and pass an opinion about it.
It's impossible.
I mean, what were you doing? Were you flipping back and forth between Seinfeld?
Yeah, they had Seinfeld on. Well, they had Seinfeld on another TV. at the same right. time. Yeah.
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 They probably had YouTube on their phone while they were watching Wonder Woman. You know, I'm just saying. Okay, now here's I want to register my usual complaint.
Yeah.
I don't think I've registered this in a while.
Oh.
When we first opened the theater back 14 years ago, right. 14 and a half years ago, I was naive.
So naive.
Because I thought that you could just like whatever kind of movies you like. And then And then other people could just like whatever kind of movies they like. No. If you don't like superhero movies, apparently it's incumbent on you to get on social media and comment about how stupid superhero movies are.
You have to.
Yeah, especially with your pinky out.
Yeah. If you're not doing that, then what are you doing with your life? I mean,
right.
Seriously.
Right. Now, I also want to take this just a little step further. I just want a little reality check. Okay?
Okay.
I just want to say, I think I qualify as somebody who has experience with different audiences.
Okay. I'll give you
right?
that.
Right? You buy?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I want to say that the people who come in to see superhero movies and horror movies are the nicest, most fun, pleasant people you ever want to meet.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that sometimes you don't get a putz, you know, or somebody who's having a bad day and they act out and take it out on you. I'm not saying that everybody's perfect, but I'm saying if you want to cast like a generalization, then the people who are coming out to see a superhero movie, they are a lot of fun. They're coming out. They're happy to be out. They're nice to see you. You know, something's wrong. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's okay. I get it. You know, fix it and then let us know, like that kind of thing. The pinky out crowd who has, you know, who are so far above these superhero movies, the people who come out for these hoity-toity movies, they're the most pain in the ass, difficult to manage audiences you ever wanted to meet.
They expect a lot, man.
I'm just saying, and God forbid one of the lights flickers during the show. You've ruined not only the entire movie, but their entire day.
Yeah.
Really.
If not their life.
Right. Probably the whole week is shot now because that light bulb flickered, you know, at the 8-minute mark. And I have a guy, and I hope he's not listening to the podcast, but I have a guy who likes to come in, and then this is another typical complainer that we get. They don't really want to complain. They're not obnoxious. They're nice people. But what they want to do is point out to you something that's wrong with the presentation. And the only reason why they want to point it out is because in the process of pointing it out, they want to make sure that you know that they used to make movies. They use big fancy movie words, you know, and they use words like aspect ratio and Dowser and, you know, stuff like that. And they don't really want to complain. They just want to like pick out something that is imperfect and then tell you all about it so that they can say, oh, yeah, well, actually, you know, I used to run a movie theater myself. Yeah, I worked in the booth when I was a kid.
I got a question for you.
Talk to me.
And I want you to be objective because – even regardless of you know, our relationship and knowing people at the theater and stuff, in a world where this didn't you didn't own a theater, how would you act if you're in a movie theater and you notice an error?
Mm.
Are you the type to get up and go say something, or wait until after the movie is over and then say something? And not something that's like fully ruining the mood. Something maybe a little bit annoying, like so. For instance, like the lights don't fully dim, or maybe you notice that one of the speakers is buzzing or something.
Yeah. You know. So those two examples that you gave, there's two different questions. The question that you asked is, "What am I likely to do?"
Yeah.
And then, but I think the question that's more interesting for our listeners is what's my opinion that a run of the mill customer should do in that situation? And my answer is, if it's bothering you even just a little bit, come out and say something, because I guarantee that everybody in that building wants you to enjoy that movie perfectly, you know? And the difference is, I don't have a problem with people, Oh, man, let me correct this. Let me make sure everybody's really clear. I have no problem whatsoever. I never have a problem with somebody coming out and telling me there's something wrong with the presentation because I want to know about it. If that light is flickering, I want to know about it. You know, if the lights didn't dim, to use your example, I want to know about it. If that speaker is buzzing, we want to know about it. That what I was complaining about, what I was commenting on, is the attitude with which this situation is brought to your attention.
Right.
You know, so a guy comes out of a superhero movie and he's like, hey, Joel, listen, that speaker on the left is buzzing. Is there anything you can? And then Joel, he'll be on it. He'll go upstairs. He'll check the audio processor. Maybe he can even turn off that speaker. You know, maybe he can address it. That kind of thing we love. We love people coming out and telling us right away because it's hard. It puts us in an awkward position when you're leaving the movie and, hey, how was it? Did you have fun? Oh, yeah, it was great. The lights never went down, but it was cool, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, like, we'd rather know about it sooner. But my big thing is, like, if there's anything in there that is distracting from your journey getting lost in the movie or in any way taking away from your enjoyment, I mean, you paid good money to be in there. Come out and tell us about it.
Right. Now, yeah. That's what should happen. But right. If you didn't own a theater and you weren't in this position, okay, right. Post or pre 14 years ago, how would Penn Ketchum handle the situation in the theater? Would you get up and say something or would you stay and say something at the end?
Neither.
You wouldn't say anything.
No, I'm not a complainer. I don't complain ever. And I'm the worst kind of customer because I will not complain. I just won't come back. You know what I mean? Like if I go to a certain movie theater and I've been going there for 6 years and I always pretty much enjoy it. And then one day the lights don't go down. I'm just going to leave and assume that, you know, it'll be fixed by the next time I come. But like, for example, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but before I built Penn Cinema, there was another movie theater in Lancaster County that I used to go to. And every time I went, there was obnoxious people, mm-hmm. staff, other customers, like everything about it was kind of, I didn't enjoy it. So I never once complained about it. I just stopped going and I drove to another movie theater that was further away from my home, but that was a more pleasant experience. And I'm the same way, like in restaurants, like if the service is horrible, like I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just going to stop going, you know, and that as a business owner, that's the worst kind of customer, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, cause that's why I say we want to know about your complaints,
yeah.
but I mean, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. I'm just saying as a customer, I don't ever complain. As a business owner, I encourage you to bring things to our attention.
I think that people might not know this, just to tag along to this, is that the exhibition industry is very much like automated now. It was at a point in time there was a projectionist up there checking everything for every movie, and now mm-hmm. it's kind of like start the day and go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you don't really have to check on things unless there's issues or whatever. So if you don't tell them, then they just never know because there's no one in there
right.
to find out. And it just keeps going. I found I used to be the type that would go out and say stuff. But now it's like, I don't want to miss any of the movie. So it becomes an issue of how much is this bothering me versus how much do I want to miss a minute
right.
and a half of like what's going on.
Right.
I think, and then there's situations like, you know, if I'm in the theater all by myself, which has happened, you know, a couple times with the smaller movies we've reviewed and stuff, like, I'll just wait it out and then say something at the end.
Right. Maybe
it's not affecting anybody but me, and I don't care. And,
yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, so I guess I do it wrong. But I'm like, yeah, you know, you'll deal with it later.
We had a, we had a private party in here a number of weeks back and it was a friend of mine and I had done them a favor to set it up. And, you know, that was very nice of me. And, I didn't mind doing it, but it was a favor and it was, you know, I was, you know, I had stuff going on and all this kind of stuff. And by total coincidence, Marley happened to be in the theater at the same time and she knew them. So she poked her head in there to say hello. And when she poked her head in there, there was no sound. My friends and my friend and their family, which was like 8 or 9 people, were all sitting there in the dark theater watching this movie.
How long into the movie was it?
I mean, when the movie, I started the movie myself, and when it started, it had sound. And it, you know, so I like did the normal projectionist thing. Like I saw that the lights went down and I saw that there was sound and I looked at the picture and it was basically in focus and everything was fine. So I walked away, you know, and then I think the sound was off for like 4 or 5 minutes. But the thing that was remarkable about it was Marley said, well, why didn't you tell my dad? And they were like, oh, he's busy. He's so nice to let us be here. And we didn't want to bother him. So yeah, if there's no sound, come out and tell someone.
I guess that's the exception.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess if I was the customer and there was no sound, I probably would. That would be an example of when I would come out and be like, "Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be difficult."
Hey, come on. Hey. All right. So last bit of news we have for this week: Mad Max Fury Road, the prequel, Furiosa, is now on schedule for a June 23rd, 2023 release. So get yourself in gear. You've got 3 years to try and convince me that Mad Max Fury Road is a good movie and I should watch a prequel.
All right. I got one word for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you sit down?
Hold on. I wasn't ready. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. I'm ready.
All right. Sit down.
I gotta get the cat.
All right. I got one word that's going to explain to you why you should be psyched for Mad Max Fury Road prequel.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to say it slowly because it's a big word. So I want you to listen carefully. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Furiosa.
He did it. He did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think that title alone is so badass and so perfect. Like, I don't like movies that are announced this far in advance, although I guess 2023 will be here before we know it. But so I tend to be a little skeptical when you announce that it's that far out. But Furiosa, that's going to be fun.
Hey, 2023 is only like 2 or 3 quarantines away, so, you know.
Stop. Stop it. Shit's not funny, David.
It's not funny because it's too real.
I also, speaking of quarantines, I want to circle back to Wonder Woman 1984 again and report that, I mean, the theaters reopen on January 5th. So we will have Wonder Woman. Tickets are on sale. Wonder Woman opens that day, that Monday, and all the holiday movies. I'm putting them back on sale. I don't even care. There's a slight chance we won't be open if they extend the shutdown, but I'm betting that they don't extend the shutdown. I think the shutdown was intended to avoid family get-togethers.
You're not going to do it January 4th? You're not pushing the envelope?
No, it reopened.
Quarantine lists at 8:50-something a.m.
Whatever that Monday is, that's when we're putting them back on sale. Yeah, okay. So
I'm just teasing you hardcore. All right, let's get into trailers, because we actually had trailers this week. Now, we had 3 trailers that we're going to go over. One, I'm in love with. And the other 2, I could never watch again.
Right.
So,
is this your trailer of the week, or dare I say trailer of the month?
Ooh. It's my trailer of the season.
Of course, you're obviously talking about Calm Before.
Yeah. Tell me about Calm Before.
Okay. Calm Before looks like a low-budget horror movie.
Yeah. Comes out in January.
Yeah. I'll book it. I'll play it. Like, some people are going to come watch it. It looks like an entertainment. I don't want to totally trash it because it did look kind of interesting and it did look, you know, whatever. But I feel like we're going to watch this movie and it's going to turn out that we've seen it before. But it doesn't, I wouldn't say bad. It just looks like a little bit lower end horror movie.
Can I tell you a real talk about this trailer?
Are you going to take it down?
Yeah. Let's get real. This is something I don't normally do. Right? I got about a third away through this movie trailer, which was only like a minute and 30 seconds long or something, maybe 2 minutes. And I fast forwarded just to make sure it was still coming out into theaters. And when it didn't say on video, on demand, I figured I've seen enough. I was like, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what this movie is. It reminds me of the example I always use, which is, you know, in any given calendar year, because you and I watch a lot of movies, we could probably name like 10 movies from 2019.
Yeah, even though like nobody went to the theater, you know.
No, I'm saying 2019.
Oh, 2019. Oh, yeah, for sure.
2019, we could probably name like 10 movies. Like you could real quick name two or three, and then you'd have to think about it, but you could come up with four or five, and then you'd really have to think about it. You could come up with 10 movies from 2019. Mm-hmm. But David, in 2019, we showed 238 different movies.
That's crazy.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if we can struggle to remember 10 movies, that means that there were 228 other movies that, by definition, are forgettable.
Right.
So there's got to be, like, middle-of-the-road, forgettable movies, and this movie, Calm Before, that's one of them.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, it's going to be a good movie. Somebody's going to like it. It's going to be a horror movie. And then a year from now, they're not going to remember that they saw it.
Right.
Okay, the second trailer that we watched is called A Boy Called Christmas, which stars the old lady from Downton Abbey, Dame Maggie Smith. And as soon as you call somebody Dame, then you lost me.
Why? Pinky's out.
Pinky's out. What's up? Oh, I don't want to diverge again, but someday I'll tell you a story about the guy I worked with who made everybody call him doctor, and then it turned out he had a fake doctorate. It was one of the most obnoxious people you've ever met. And one of the things that made him obnoxious is he made everybody call him doctor. And he would say, like, well, I worked hard to earn that, you know. And I don't mind calling someone a doctor who is a doctor, but like day to day, like if you sit, you know, with somebody and work with them every single day, like there has to be a little bit of familiarity in there. Right. Not for this guy. Then later it turned out the whole thing was a fraud, and in fact he never even did go to grad school.
It's like you and me. Like, I paid $50 to become a lord of the house in England.
Right.
But I don't make you call me Lord David Moulton at every turn. I could.
Make me call. I just do anyway, out of respect.
Yeah, right.
Out of common decency.
I don't make you. But.
LDBM. That's where the L comes from. So Dame Maggie Smith stars as the old lady narrator in a movie called A Boy Called Christmas. This movie looks okay. It comes out in Christmas of 21, but it was produced by Netflix, so I'm not really sure. Yeah, it's on the last title, the last credit slide before the trailer ends. But it's real small, but it says coming soon, you know, Christmas of 2021. But I think it is a theatrical release. It looked all right. I mean, to me, this was like whatever. This is going to be one of those movies where it's going to struggle to get screens because all the content from 20 that was pushed to 21 is going to be hogging up all the screens.
Well, this is my trailer of the week.
Stop.
It is. I love this trailer.
The Boy Called Christmas?
Yeah. I thought it was magical. I was like, how did we miss this Christmas movie? I want to watch this now. And then it said not till 2021. And I thought, well, that's disappointing.
Huh.
It looked like a good Christmas movie. And you don't hear me say that.
No, not often. And I agree with you. It did look like a good Christmas movie.
Oh, you don't have to backpedal now.
No. I'm not. We can roll the tape. I didn't say anything bad about it. I was trying to throw Dame Judi Dench Maggie Smith under the bus.
Oh, come on.
The reason why I'm surprised
is because the other one's a Studio Ghibli film.
Yeah, the third trailer, Studio Ghibli.
I would be all about this next one, which is called
Ghibli.
It's called Earwig and the Witch, and I think this looks like it would have been amazing had it been done hand drawn, like all the other Studio Ghibli stuff, and. And this is Studio Ghibli's first foray into computer animated, and they wanted to make it computer animated. They wanted to make it look like how they hand draw stuff. And what they came up with was stuff that looks like a 90s kids cartoon on television where they use computer graphics, and it looks horrible. The story sounds enchanting. Some of the visuals, I'm like, oh, that's clearly like a Ghibli like idea or way that he would do like a magic that looks really cool. But the characters look horrible, horrible, horrible. And I don't know if I'll be able to watch this movie as a result.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
I did not pick up on that detail, although now that you say it, it's super obvious, because it says like right at the beginning, Studio Ghibli's very first CG movie, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're excited to brag about that, but I did not think about it until you said what you said, that for some fans, that's going to be a bad thing.
Yeah, it looks like a below freshman outing of a CG movie. Like it looks like they're still in school.
yeah.
And I don't know if, why, when there's, I mean, computer graphics are not, I mean, it's out there. It's an industry.
And the other question is, they've enjoyed so much success with the hand-drawn animation. Oh, you know who's going to have an opinion about this?
Frodo.
Our new friend Frodo, yeah.
You'll have to see what she says.
Yeah, she's going to have something to say about it.
Yeah. So,
damn.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our trailers for this week. Now let's get into our movie review, because I have words for you.
I am a little anxious about your words because I'm nervous that I might agree with you.
Okay.
You go first.
How dare you? How dare you make me watch this fantastic, joyful movie that made me so incredibly hungry for 2 hours? All I wanted to do was get up and make all the snacks. But I didn't, because none of them would be as good as the delicious food on screen the whole movie. I was so hungry after this movie. You don't know. So I really like this movie. I thought it was delightful. I thought it was really, like, I think it was about three quarters of the way through, I'm like, man, this is just a really like joyful ride. Like, there's no real super conflict. You know what I mean? It's just like a good, happy story. I mean, it verges on the like unbelievably happy side of things, where, you know, it'd be one thing if he kind of like made up with his kid, but he also gets the super hot wife back, and you know, it's like, and he gets the restaurant, and it's just kind of like maybe a little too many things go perfect, but, and I was like, this is just a really relatable story from a kid perspective, from a parent perspective, you know, from just a love story perspective, from someone who's lost love, someone who's feels lost in their career. Like, whatever. All those things are great. I stopped the movie, and you know what my number one recommendation for the next thing I watch was?
What?
The movie Chef, an Amazon original. And I was like, pardon? I just watched Chef on Amazon, and I had to pay for it. So why do I have to, what's this here? So I watched the trailer, and it's the same exact movie, but the Indian version. So it's all in Indian, and it takes place in India. And at the end, it says it's like inspired by the movie Chef by Jon Favreau. So apparently he sold the rights to make it for them to, what it's the word, not nationalize, but localize.
Yeah.
The movie. And it looked like, even the trailer, even though I couldn't understand what they were saying, I knew what was going on. And I was like, this looks just as fun and delightful, just changed the type of food and the environment, and it's a story that really translates to any place.
So you had to pay to watch Chef?
It's $4.
You don't have Amazon?
I do. It's $4 on Amazon.
Not on my Amazon.
It was on mine. I had to rent it. Maybe you bought it when you watched it.
That could be.
Yeah. I mean, it was totally worth the $4. I don't care.
Yeah. So here's my review of it.
Yeah.
All the stuff that you just reported, how you felt, uh-huh. I remember feeling that when I watched the movie.
Okay.
And I loved it. And to this day, I've been telling, you know, every time the topic comes up of like an overlooked movie or, you know, hey, Penn, give me a movie recommendation that, you know, I might not be thinking about or whatever. And Chef is often on my list, and The Mexican with Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt is on my list, with James Gandolfini. But so I was really excited to watch Chef again, but I have to say the second viewing was not, it did not live up to what I remembered.
A little bit boring?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit like, oh yeah, here we go. This is the scene where he screams at the guy.
It's very formulaic, and I could see not enjoying it a second time.
Yeah. And the other thing was, John Favreau bugged me a little bit the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I thought was weird because he's a likable guy, and you know, he's, there's nothing wrong with him. He's a great actor and talented guy, but I don't know. It didn't hold up. When you said I need to have words for you, you were setting up a bit about being hungry and snacks and stuff like that. I thought you were gonna like tell me you thought the movie sucked.
No. I know you did, but I wasn't gonna rant on it. I actually enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. I'm being overly harsh. I enjoyed watching it. I mean, it's a beautifully made movie and it's easy to watch. And, you know, the scenes where he's cooking, you know, inspires you, like you want to go cook something good. And
you got to wonder if he was on the set of Iron Man and he was like, I want to make this movie. And then he just took everyone from Iron Man right. to make a new movie because he got Scarlett Johansson. And
the supporting cast, I don't want to lose your train of thought, but that is worth mentioning. The supporting cast is as good or better than the main characters.
Yeah, John Leguizamo is amazing.
Oh, love that guy.
Scarlett Johansson, and I'm like, no, girl. Like, well, maybe, but like, she's getting so turned on by him just like cooking food. I'm like, oh, please, this is a, who are you appealing to here? Because it's me, but... But I think my favorite part of the movie was Robert Downey Jr.'s scene, and just the like quick quips of them going back and forth at each other, and
yeah,
switching between choosing carpet to whether or not he should fire the girl who claims that she's having his baby and stuff, and that was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, Chef. Starring Jon Favreau. If you've never seen it before, we highly recommend it. Obviously, if you've seen it before,
maybe don't. Maybe do something else.
Whatever. I will say, on the topic of movies that fly under the radar, that movie that I referenced a minute ago called The Mexican with Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt, I have rewatched that movie a number of times, and that movie holds up. It's also an easy to watch, basically formulaic, basically easy movie. But for some reason, that particular movie does lend itself to multiple viewings.
This isn't The Mexican with Antonio Banderas?
No Antonio Banderas McLaughlin in this one.
Okay, all right, checking.
By happenstance, I was just thinking about rewatching The Mexican again.
Ooh.
Speaking of happenstance, shall we float over to listeners' notes, questions, and answers?
Please, let's get into it.
All right, you get started because I have one that didn't make the list that we need to put in.
Oh my gosh. All right, so we'll start off Frodo. She wrote in. Last week, Penn and I were like, we cranked out our pinkies. We were like, valedictively isn't a real word. We Googled it. Thank you very much. She says,
nah.
Nah, bros. You know, you're no wordsmith like I am. Trust. She said, valedictively is an adjectival form of valediction. Or
a word form, David?
Adjectival. Man, she's blowing me out of the water.
She's using made-up words to defend sentence. Her made-up word.
Yeah, right, right, right. She said, which is a term for the sign-off portion of a formal letter format like sincerely or with love. It has a few other meanings, basically meaning a farewell, but in context of a letter, a valediction is the sign-off part. So she schooled us, hands down.
With love.
With love.
With love.
It was like we came out saying facts, and she was the parent that said, Oh, nah. Dear.
Sweetheart. Oh,
sweetheart. No, it's okay. This is
I feel like I feel like somebody I feel like the tone was that of someone who's like explaining to you that no, honey, nobody landed on the moon.
Yeah.
Like they have a Hollywood set and they convince the whole world to believe that they're a sweetheart.
You're so simple-minded.
Right. And I think what do they I mean, I'm not saying this, but isn't that like gaslighting?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call that, yeah, right? to make you feel stupid for not knowing something?
I don't think she intended to make us feel stupid.
When you question it. All right, so kudos.
Yeah. She also wanted to say a couple other things. I just need
to get this in here. Kudos to her for making up words to defend her made up words. I wish I had thought of something like that.
That's how you get them. You get them with so much fake. They don't know what there was. Well, I mean, I guess it sounds right.
Right. I love it.
What I heard today is that an adult can only handle so many questions of why before they just give up and move on. So it's like if you just give them a BS answer, they're just like, whatever. So she also pointed out a bunch of stuff we didn't cover. Apparently, Cyberpunk 2077 nearly enough.
That was really interesting.
A bunch of stuff in there. Wanted to know if we were going to cover it some more. I don't think so. We're not a video game podcast. And on top of that, I know when I was talking about it, I was like watching Penn's face like glaze over and the years just drawn straight out of him while I was talking about a video game. So we won't go down that road again.
I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who enjoyed hearing about something else that you're passionate about besides movies.
There you go. Yeah.
And then it prompted the question, what else is in David's life that we don't get to talk about on the show? We talk about Dune because there's a movie coming out. Yep. We talk about movies. Mm-hmm. And every now and then you sit on your cat.
Yeah.
And now we know about video games. But maybe we should have like a podcast about David Moulton.
Oh boy.
LDBM himself.
Wait till you find out how empty that podcast is.
Seriously, so the point that Tristan was making was that there was a lot more to that story about the Cyberpunk video game than just some glitches and some technical problems. So if that's an interesting story to you, I suspect you could probably find some of those stories online. Looking at you, Mystery Gobble.
Yeah. And then the last thing she said, last week you had asked for animation recommendations.
Yeah.
And while she didn't have a movie, she did come at you with something I haven't watched yet, but I used to be a fan of as a kid, and I highly recommend. She said, check out the new revitalization of Animaniacs. And I remember, as a kid, my mom loved watching Animaniacs with me because she would tell me that it was a cartoon that transgressed age and that it was funny to adults for reasons that it wasn't funny for kids. And, you know, they had jokes that went over kids' heads and stuff. And fun fact, I interviewed one of the voices for Animaniacs for an old podcast of mine years ago, Ron Polson.
Was it the Lancast?
Yep, for the Lancast. And it also was on the Sci-Fi Diner podcast. So,
interesting.
Yeah, Ron Polson, great guy.
Yeah, I don't think the Animaniacs transgressed generations. I think it transcended generations.
I think it.
It was trans
a joke, but it didn't work.
It transponded.
It transposed generations. Yeah.
It transported generations. The one that comes to my mind, like as a parent or maybe just as an adult, it's a great example of that was Shrek.
Okay. Yeah.
Wasn't that like a classic example of a movie that was clearly a kid's movie, but all the adults in the audience were laughing just as hard?
Right. Right, yeah. And that's like the kind of way Animaniacs would have jokes about the Three Stooges, jokes about Don Knotts, like a lot of jokes about Don Knotts, and like, you know, kids didn't.
So where do we go to watch Animaniacs
now? The new Animaniacs is on Hulu.
Oh, dope. I have Hulu.
Yeah, I think it came out a month or two ago. So
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out and I'll report back.
Okay, cool. All right, so take us on. What we got?
So the next one, coming back to big words, the Mystery Gobble, one of our more faithful listeners who has been listening for 100 straight shows. Poor bastard. He writes in with some, everything about this was great. So he writes in and says, congrats on the 100th show. Who would have thought you would make it past 10, not me? And then this is the part I think really that probably everybody needs to hear. He says, I want to give kudos to Penn for his judicious, I got to look that up quick, judicious, yeah, his judicious use of big boy words, posthumously and happenstance, nicely done. And then there's a postscript, you know, P.S., postscript, yeah, which is Latin for after the writing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dig that. So, and then if you do another note at after the writing, it's PPS, postscript.
Oh.
Yeah, that's some Latin shit right there. Yeah. Don't say I never taught you nothing. So then he says, hey, by the way, David, I think someone is dropping hints for a vocabulary word of the day calendar for Christmas.
I almost got that for you, but then I thought, you know, he doesn't even use that muscle suit I bought him for his birthday. So, I mean, you should be wearing that thing every day.
I know. Well, I do, but then I have to wash it on Sundays.
That's it.
That's why you've never seen me in it.
All right. Top 10 Sarah. Our gal pal.
Love her.
Yeah, she's so great. She said, I just finished watching the movie Chef. This was such a nice surprise. It combined three of my favorite things, food, New Orleans, and salsa music dancing. So it even got me up and dancing a little salsa. Otherwise, it was a pretty standard plot. Good acting and intriguing details with the food truck.
Yeah.
So she's a fan. I'm glad she enjoyed it.
Awesome.
So that's awesome. Thanks for letting us know. We always like to hear everyone who wants to send us a review of their stuff, that if they watch along, that's awesome. And then Austin Atreides chimed in here, and he's got a chunk of stuff for us to go through.
He's a longtime listener who hasn't written in a while.
Yeah. He says, all right, so since last writing in, I finished the three last Dune books by Frank Herbert, and I'm two-thirds of the way done with the Butlerian Jihad. He says, I understand why, but I was disappointed that Dune was pushed back a full year.
And that's where he should have stopped.
Right.
But he said he should have ended his email and said, you know, love Austrian Atreides. Yeah. Right. But no.
Instead, he decided to go on the attack.
Instead, he pushed on.
He said, Penn, have you even read more than five pages of Dune yet? I'm really loving the series. So, Penn, have you read more than five pages yet? Have you listened to more than five pages worth of the book?
Did I tell you that Amy was reading the book to me and Marley and Kayla?
I think she might have said that.
So I forget how many pages she read, but whatever number of pages she read is how many pages I've read, which I think was probably less than five.
My dude. But
I don't understand it. I don't understand why you're coming at me, because I got a what do you call it when they my sentence was commuted because the movie got pushed back a year.
Yeah, but your track record of already having like a year and a half to read the book since I gave it to you, it's not proven too good here.
All right, fair enough. All at right, moment, I think I'm gonna get into it.
Oh, do you now?
But what I love about this email is, so he starts off as a normal civilized person would, by sharing an interest, you know, this is what I'm up to. This is what I thought about the three last Dune books. And I'm almost done with the Butlerian Jihad. And I was disappointed Dune was pushed back a full year. And so that's very nice.
Yeah.
Then he has to kick me while I'm down.
Right.
But being a good guy that he is, he's an equal opportunity kicker.
Because I'm here on the high horse, like, yeah, what's up, Penn?
Yeah, what's up, Penn? You suck.
And you,
Mr. Benjamin David Moulton.
Yes. How do you not like the Bourne movies? This is the Bourne trilogy. It's fantastic. Well, I don't care for the other two Bourne movies that much. I thought they were very well done and exciting. And if that's not enough, he's got to go and rub sand right in my eyes. He says, I saw Venom a bit ago for the first time, and I thought it was aggressively mediocre. I just didn't care about it at all. So why would you bring up Venom in front of me? I know you're saying it's not good, which I agree on, but I just had to remember it existed.
You know what brings people together, David?
The hating Venom?
A common enemy. I mean, that's like politics 101. You know, you want to unite your community around your cause. You find a common enemy and you start talking about how awful they are. And I feel like that's you and Austin.
Yeah.
You're just trying to hang out together, hating on Venom.
That's how you do it, man. And look, I'm giving the Bourne movies another try.
So. I am 100% with Austin on this because I feel like I agree. The Boston trilogy, the Bourne trilogy is amazing. I mean, that's one of my favorite. What?
The Boston trilogy. Hey.
I don't know why I said Boston.
Okay. Anyway. So you like
Boston trilogy. And then he suggested that we watch Pandorum, which I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Do you?
No. It sounds like a horror movie, though.
Okay, I'll check it out.
He had some other stuff to say, but he says this Five Nights at Freddy movie that we talked about last week is based off of a horror game that's pretty fun, and he's really interested to see what they do with the movie version. So,
you know what would have been funnier right there? If you had said, he's got a bunch of other stuff to say, but I stopped reading after the Venom reference.
I just deleted the email. Right.
He had a bunch of other stuff to say, but I got bored and moved on.
All right. Okay. Well, moving on from that, let's go to what are you watching? What are you reading this week? I'm sure you spent a lot of time with the fam doing all kinds of stuff, but did you get up to anything?
I do have a recommendation. I mean, I'm not going to bore you with sort of all the stuff the Ketchums are watching, and my family, you know, we watch a lot of stuff in the living room together, and you know, nothing that the rest of the world isn't also watching.
Right.
I think it was Christmas, or maybe it was the day after Christmas. We watched Office Christmas Party with Jason Bateman. And I have to say, like, I forgot. I watched that movie when it came out. We watched it in the theater. And I remember walking out of it thinking it was just all right. But we watched this movie the other day, and I laughed really hard. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's stupid. I don't know. Let me get my thesaurus out and look for other words for dumb and stupid. But it was funny. It was really funny, and we laughed pretty hard. But the one I want to tell you about, Kayla and I have been watching Big Little Lies, which, as you know, stars Nicole Kidman. And you know how they, like, whenever you watch one actor, they suggest other movies that they're in. So Nicole Kidman is in this, I don't know what you call it, thriller with Hugh Jackman. It turns out to be sort of like a murder mystery. It's called The Undoing.
Oh.
And I'm here to tell you, it's a series.
Hugh Grant?
Yeah, what did I say?
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Hugh Grant. The one that had the thing with the hooker, and he's in Notting Hill and Four Weddings and a Funeral, that guy. The show is called The Undoing, stars Nicole Kidman. I'm loving it so much that it qualifies as one of those examples of, like, any chance I get to sneak away and watch another episode, I'm taking it. You know, like, if it was a book, you would say that I couldn't put it down.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of like a lot of people say about Dune, but, you know.
About what?
About Dune.
Who?
Yeah, it's a new book. You haven't heard of it yet.
No. Wait, that comes out later this year, right?
Yeah, well, 2021 with everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it based on a book?
Based off a board game, I think.
Was the book based off the 1980s movie?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's how you put a, if you want to piss people off, oof.
I'm gonna start referring to it as a reboot.
You make me so angry. All right, so
that'll get him buying chopsticks.
So this week, I guess it started last week. I don't remember if I talked about it or not, but The Expanse is back, season 5,
and it's, thank God.
It's I know, right? Oh, it's amazing. By the way, it's really good. If you like the books, the show's out there. And then, so this holiday, I thought we were going to watch a movie or something. You know, me and the moms, Christmas Day. Instead, she's like, "No, let's watch the holiday movies that made us." Have you ever heard of the Whatever That Made Us series on Netflix?
No.
There's a whole bunch of them. So there's the holiday movies that made us. There's the toys that made us, the shows that made us or something.
Oh, yeah. That rings a bell. Yeah.
Each of them is like a series of short half hour, 45 minute documentaries of like specific subjects.
Okay.
And so there's only two episodes for the Christmas one. It was one on how Elf was made. There's one on how Nightmare Before Christmas was made. They were both really interesting. Worth your time. You like behind the scenes stuff. It's really interesting to see how, especially like Elf and how when they went to make it, like Will Ferrell was a nobody. He was just an SNL guy and he hadn't had any lead roles, and no studio wanted to cast him in it. And then they filmed it, and by the time they had filmed it, the old school had come out, and then they wanted to old schoolify Elf, and they couldn't figure out how to do it. So anyway, it's a good move, a good show. So that's about it for me.
You want to know something funny?
What's that?
I know that you like to make fun of me, and I don't love that. But it's pretty funny, and I feel like I need to tell on myself.
Well, hold on. You want to hear something funny? You're a jerk. that's basically what you just said.
No, I feel like I just need to be honest and, like, you know, I know this is just going to add to your repertoire of things to make fun of Penn about. But I was thinking about what are we watching, what are we doing, and I thought to myself, I should tell David about this movie that I watched called I'm Your Woman, starring Rachel Brosnahan from Mrs. Maisel. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, I think I watched that last week and told him about it last week. And then I pulled up last year. And then I pulled up last week's show notes. And for those of you who didn't listen to last week's show, that was our featured movie review that I couldn't remember whether or not I had told David about last week on the What Are We Watching segment.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So next week we'll be watching Greta. I can't wait to see. I hear good things about it.
Chloe Grace Moretz, man. Can't go wrong.
I think we have some recent listeners who might not know that I have sometimes trouble remembering. Well, the truth is I have trouble remembering anything, but I often also have trouble remembering what movies I have or have not watched.
It makes them all that much more exciting the second time around.
Amy says that all the time. She's like, your life must be such an adventure because you have no idea what's going on. Sometimes she tells me like trips we took together years ago, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Oh, man, the poor woman.
Oh, my God, you have no idea. She's a saint.
So next week.
Soul.
We're going to do Soul?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
I want to see it.
I'm Hundo P. Yeah. I just need to clarify. The reason why we can watch this movie at home on our TV is because it's not getting a theatrical release.
Right.
If this was like Wonder Woman, then I would object and I would want to wait until it was available in theaters. But they're showing this on TV, so I'll sit in my living room and watch it.
It's on Disney Plus, and it's no extra charge.
Yeah.
So I checked to make sure it wasn't like they weren't pulling a Mulan on us.
I bet you Frodo already saw it.
Oh, probably. Frodo better.
Don't you think someone who's really into animation like her would have already watched this?
Yeah. I mean, it came out this week. She was probably like right there and ready.
1201. Now, listen, Tristan, I'm really interested to hear what you think about this. So if you want to write us and give us a review, we would be happy to share that as part of our review. But don't ruin it for me. Don't be sending like a spoiler.
Oh. Or if you're going to put spoiler, you better put in the subject line, spoiler.
Spoilers, yeah.
So that he doesn't go ahead and read you. I mean, chances are, not going to understand what you wrote spoilers. Anyway. So.
Right. Well, that's what my dictionary is for, David.
All right. Well, look, if you want to be a part of our show, the funnest, best way to do that is go ahead and shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We want to hear your questions, your answers, your reviews, whatever you got. We're here for you. Don't worry.
We especially enjoy emails that poke fun at David.
Yeah. Yeah. The best ones.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah, they're so far and few between those. So,
yeah. Right, right.
So, now, if you want to support the show, what's the best way someone can do that, Pat?
Send us a bag of money.
Again with the bag of money.
I think the best way you could support the show is to tell a friend. I told a friend I was out running. I was training with my group this morning, and we were out running the hills of Mount Gretna. We were running Radar Road, if anybody's familiar with that, straight uphill. You start at the bottom at the yellow gate, and you run all the way to the top, and then you turn around and you run back to the yellow gate, and you tag the gate, and that makes one round. Oof. So we did, my team and I did 6 rounds up and down Radar Road, and every rep I made it my business to run down the hill with somebody different so I could tell them about the Penn Cinema podcast, which was great because they were super happy to hear all about it.
Yeah, they were like, I can't get away from you.
The hard part, I'm not sure it's going to yield a lot of new listeners, though, because pretty much everybody on the team is faster than me.
Yeah, it's great. Bye.
Bye.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. So tell a friend. That's the method.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll see you back next week for Soul. Once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and
party on.
We're getting the hang of that.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.